potsino kupai nau muririmi rweshona
lilani
murara zvakanaka muri yeZimbabwe.
Good evening. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, November 18, 2020. And this is Live Talk Diaspora Forum. I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Gibbs Dube in Maryland.
Tonight on Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are looking at the COVID-19 cases in the country and the world. As at 17 November 2020, Zimbabwe had 8,945 confirmed cases, including 8,164 recoveries and 259 deaths. This after 48 new cases and 2 deaths were reported nationally yesterday.
And worldwide, according to Johns Hopkins University, there are roughly about 57 million people who have actually contracted COVID-19. And out of this number, 1,340,644 have actually died. According to the same hospital, there are over 11 million people that have contracted COVID-19 in USA. And out of this number, 248,707 have actually died. COVID-19. Siyabona ukuthi aba 8,164 sebaphepha kumkhuhlane lo. Kuthi ke nxa sikhangela ke asebabhubhayo sebe 260. Lokhu ke kwethula lohlangothi lwezempila kahle. Kuze kusithi ke iJohns Hopkins University ibika ukuthi sokulabantu abayi 55.8 million asebebanjwa iCOVID-19 emhlabeni wonke jikelele. Phakathi kwenani leli kulabantu 1,340,645 asebabulawa iCOVID-19. Isibhedlela lesi siyabika njalo ukuthi emhlabeni wonke jikelele lapha kwele Melika kulabantu abayi 11 million abedlula 11 million asebagula iCOVID-19 kwathi ke abayi 248,707 sebabhubha okunye kuyalandela kunjalo ke Jonga.
And this was chaizvo Gibbs nhasi tiri kutarisa nezvedambudziko rechirwere chaCOVID-19 icho chinonzi chasimuka zvakare kwete muZimbabwe chete asi pasi rose. Chirwere chasimuka zvakare nezuro muZimbabwe vanhu vanokwana kuita 40 nevasere kana kuti 48 vakavhenekwa kwawanikwa vaine chirwere cheCOVID-19 vaviri vakashaya kudunhu reUlawayo. Izvi zvakasiya vanhu vabatwa nechirwere cheCOVID-19 muZimbabwe yose vasvika pazviuru zvisere nemazana mapfumbamwe nemakumimana nevashanu kana kuti 8,945 kuchiti vapora kubva kuchirwere ichi zviuru zvisere nezana nemakumimana nevana kana kuti 8,164. Vashaya nechirwere ichi munyika yose vava pamazana maviri nemakumashanu nevapfumbamwe 259. Tiri kutarisawo zvakare nyaya yesarudzo dzemuno muAmerica tichionawo makakatanwa ari kukonzerwa nekuti mutungamiri wenyika vaDonald Trump havasi kutambira kuti vakakundwa musarudzo idzi. Zviri kuonekwa nekukwira kwavari kuita kumatare vachipikisa kuti aiwa vakasarudzwa wemutungamiri wenyika yeAmerica vaJoe Biden webato reDemocratic Party handiwo vakakunda. Tisakanganwawo zvakare kuti makore matatu zuva ranhasi tichitarisa muna 2017 November 18 ndo zuva rabviswa vaive mutungamiri wenyika vaRobert Mugabe pachigaro. Tinoyeuka kuti ndo nguva yakatorwa mhuri yavo ichiiswa pasi peutapwa kana kuti vachiiswa pasi pemauto kuti pange pachiita kuchinjanwa kwemasimba ikoko. Takanzwa mauto achizivisa kuburikidza navasusiso mwoyo kuti aiwa ndo vambobata matomu vachigadzirisa zvinhu zviri kunza zvava zvisingafambe zvakanaka muZimbabwe. Tichacheuka tichiona kuti zvii zvashanduka kubva nguva iyoyo kusvika nhasi.
Yes, as Jonga is saying that, today we are going to look at various issues. One of them is COVID-19. Then the other issues that we are going to look at are the elections in the USA. And what happened about 3 years ago when the former late president, Robert Mugabe, was removed from office. So we still remember that day very vividly. Let's listen, Joga, to what, then Major General Sibusiso Moyo said when Mugabe was actually.
Comrade R.G. Mugabe and his family are safe and sound, and their security is guaranteed. We are only targeting criminals around him who are committing crimes that are causing social and economic suffering in the country in order to bring them to justice.
So that's one of the things that was actually said by then Major General Sibusiso Moyo. He also talked about, you know, several other issues. And one of the issues was to do with, the rights. Or let me say, they said they had a mission to accomplish. And here was their mission.
As soon as we have accomplished our mission, we expect that the situation will return to normalcy. To the civil servants, as you are aware, there is a plan by the same individuals to influence the current purging which is taking place in the political sphere to the civil service. We are against that act of injustice, and we intend to protect everyone of you against that. To the judiciary, the measures underway are intended to ensure that, as an independent arm of the state, you are able to exercise your independent authority without fear of being obstructed, as has been the case with this group of individuals. To our members of parliament, your legislative role is of paramount importance for peace and stability in this country. And it is our desire that a dispensation is created that allows you to serve your respective political constituencies according to democratic tenets. To the generality of the people of Zimbabwe, we urge you to remain calm and limit unnecessary movement. However, we encourage those who are employed and those with essential business in the city to continue their normal activities as usual.
So, Chomba, this is exactly what happened. You still remember this day?
Yes, Gibbs, I still remember that, but unfortunately, I couldn't hear what Major General Sibanda was saying on those videos you played. I'm not sure whether our...
It was all about, that Mugabe family was actually safe, and nothing was going to happen against them, and that they were targeting criminals, and their mission was to bring the country back to normalcy. Basically, that was what he was saying.
Hongo vadiwa vateereri nevatariri ndo masoko ari kunzi anga achitaurwa nevaive mukuru wemauto Major General Sibusiso Moyo nguva iyo muna 2017 vachizivisa nyika kuti aiwa musatya henyu kuti mhuri yevaive mutungamiri wenyika nguva yaiva Robert Mugabe ingadai yambunyikidzwa aiwa anzi yakagadzikana iri mumaoko akanaka asi vari kunangana nevanhu vari kuita uori nekukanganisa mafambisirwo ehurumende vakanga vakatenderedza vamugabe nguva iyoyo ndozvo zvachitaida kunzwa kuti pamakore matatu shanduko dzaivimbiswa nevakashandura masimba ava dzaakuwanikwa here munyika Gibbs
kunjalo sivili lapa ke uMajor General Limzwile lapa ke Sibusiso Moyo ekhuluma ngokuti vavesusa ke umugabe esikhundleni besenzela ukuthi babambe lapo kwakuthiwa ngamasela kambe amasela angikhona saabanjwa. Maybe we can start with one of our guests and ask about some of these very important questions.
Well, can you start with the COVID figures and then we go into the...
Let's go ahead.
Yes. Maybe I can start with Dr. Mavaza. Dr. Mavaza, welcome to our show. Yes, Dr. Mavaza, you were in Zimbabwe and I think you just landed in England yesterday. How is the situation in Zimbabwe with regards to the COVID pandemic?
The COVID pandemic in Zimbabwe, I think it's terrible. It was not as bad as the other countries around us and the countries of Europe and America. But however, I would want to note that the Zimbabwean government is doing everything it could in order to track, trace, and control the COVID. Starting from the entry point, if you don't have a COVID certificate, they will test you there, wait for your results, and release you into the public if you are positive, and ask you to be careful and to be responsible. So in other words, we are definitely living in COVID. But the very sad thing, Jonga, is that the general people in the streets, they are not worried about COVID. They are not taking it seriously. They have got a general wrong belief that COVID is over. They think COVID is now hiding somewhere. They are no longer social distancing on the road. The masks are no longer a must. There are very few places where you go in there with a mask where they test your temperature. But people are now relaxing so much that they believe that COVID is something else which comes and goes. But they are not aware that COVID is real. It hasn't gone anyway. And lockdown does not mean COVID is locked down. It's simply a way to create a gap between proceeding of COVID and the human nature. So in Zimbabwe, definitely, while COVID is it was stable, but now with the new figures that 48 were tested for positive yesterday, there were a school with 100 kids who tested positive as well, and with one child critically ill. So the problem again is that the figures of COVID we are relying on in Zimbabwe are simply those of those who have been tested. The reality is some people are going untested. So many people are dying. We go for the funerals, and we just attribute the funeral to some other natural causes because there's been no testing.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Mavaza. Yes, man, that's good. I'm going to Dr. Mavaza. I'm going to Zimbabwe. England, Nezuro. Varikutaura kuti aiwa zvinhu zvakagadzikana muZimbabwe panyaya yechirwere cheCOVID-19 hurumende yanga yaedza kutora matanho yekuti chirwere chirambe chakadzikira muZimbabwe asi zvavari kuchema Dr. Mavaza ndezvekuti mukufamba kwavaiita havana kuona vanhu vachitorawo matanho ekuzvidzivirira mazuva apera varikutaura kuti vanhu havachatevera nyaya dzekusiya mukaha ingadzi pachirungu social distancing nyaya dzekupfekwa kwemamaski nenyaya dzekuungana mudzinhamo kana mungava mumafaro nenyaya imwe yasimudzwa naDr Mavaza inyaya yekuti vanhu kuongororwa chirwere cheCOVID-19 havasi kunyanyoenda kunoongororwa saka zvinogona kuti vamwe vanhu vari kufa vachingonzi vafa nezvimwe zvirwere vanogona kunge vafa nechirwere cheCOVID-19. Yesterday I spoke with Dr. Gilson Mandigo, who is in Zimbabwe. He also raised those same concerns you are raising, Dr. Mavaza, the issue of people not voluntarily going to get tested for COVID-19, people discarding of all those restrictions and measures that were put in place by WHO and the Minister of Health, and people just thinking that COVID is gone. Somebody I spoke with a day before yesterday, he asked me whether I knew of anyone who has died of COVID in Zimbabwe. That's the attitude people have in Zimbabwe.
Yes, kunjalo ke mfowethu siyakuzwa khonapho. Nxa sisizwa uDr Mavaza laphothi eZimbabwe abantu bangazani ke abasakatali kangako umkhuhlane weCOVID-19. Siyabona njalo ukuthi kobulawayo kuzobuya emathobeleni yonke ngane umkhuhlane lo umemetheka kakhulu okudlula indawo ezijeneyo. Abanye bathi lokhu kwenziwa ngokuthi kulabantu basuka kwele-South Africa bengena elizweni okwenza ukuthi kube lokungani akusahambi ngemfanelo. So ke nxa sikhangela njalo uDr Mavaza uyatho ukuthi kungani kukhona khonokho kodwa kukhanya ngani kulapho ukuthi kungalungiswa ngendlela ezithize. So ke singene kwenye itopic lapha Jonga. Sesikhulume ke about the situation in Zimbabwe. Dr Mavaza, apparently I think you heard Dr Sibusiso Moyo. On the day when there was a declaration that the former late president was in safe hands and his family was also safe and that the country was coming into a new dispensation. So briefly, can you give us an outlook of what is happening in the country? You've been there, you saw it, and people are saying, suffer continue, you know, people are just suffering, you know, as per what they're saying.
Okay, thank you, Gibbs.
Very briefly, yeah.
Thank you. What we should appreciate is that definitely after the removal of former president, Comrade Robert Gabriel Mugabe, we had expected the thieves or criminals around him to be arrested, to be in prison. It's said that up to now, we don't have any except one or two in prison. We have former Governor Machaya in prison, Minister Undenge in prison. Those are the only ones we have in prison, I think two, and some very, very junior officers whom we cannot count here, like the Comrade Chapfuma from the State House. He was not part of Mugabe's regime, so he was a new dispensation arrest. So, right, finally, would say yes, that declaration has not been fulfilled. But however, there is a lot of progress which has been done by the new dispensation. We now look at Harare Bedbridge Road is in far, far much advanced stage. We look into the towns, the portals are gone. The electricity problem is no longer persistent as it was. Yes, we have got problems with monies, people still not using ATMs as any other country could be doing, but we are working towards that. The government is working towards that, and we have got a lot of success. You know, there's a lot of success story in Zimbabwe. Unfortunately, the media only looks at the negatives, but we've got so many things which has happened. I point out that in
Shuru, but does that include Studio 7? Honestly,
no. Media in general, and Studio 7 is very liberal. It's very open-minded, I would say. Not because I'm on Studio 7, but I'm saying the truth. I would have said it otherwise if you were otherwise. So I'm not saying it out of fear. I'm saying it out of reality. So the reality of the matter is, as I was going to say, that if you look in Shurugi North, there have been some communal arrangements made where people mine gold as a community and they get the profits from the gold in their community area. So in other words, what we are simply saying is people are now benefiting from what is in their provinces. And again, there's a lot of things which have been done. Infrastructure, if you go into Harare now, you see buildings being built, renovated. Lights are being, things are there. Hotels are now open almost to the full. If it wasn't for COVID, there was a stage you could not book a room in Harare. So in short, yes, the new dispensation has brought a lot of changes. We have had problems with strikes, striking nurses, teachers, civil servants, and their salaries. Only last week, the government has gone ahead to award a large chunks of monies to teachers, civil servants, to every government employee.
Thank you very much. Mr. Machazi, I'm happy that you have actually joined the show. Mr. Kutula Machazi is a political commentator based in Canada. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you.
Do you agree with what Mr. or Dr. Mabaze say?
I think he was on the ground and he probably saw a lot of these things happening. Mm-hmm. So I would take his word and believe him. So I'm you know, because we all hope that Zimbabwe succeeds, because if this government succeeds, then it means our families back home, everybody else has got a better life. Mm-hmm. So from that angle, I do believe him. But I think there are other issues. You know, I think there's an issue of, you know, prices, the issue of shortage of money. We have a problem with the healthcare system, education system. I think those are some of the very basic things that are still, we are having problems with. It's okay for optics to have nice paved roads, but I mean, it's okay for safety as well. But it's also nice, I think, if you can have nice paved roads, because then those are visuals. People can see and say there is progress. But then the other thing, if we're looking at the, you know, from a big picture, you know, education is very important. Health is very important. Those are very important issues. So if we don't address things as fundamental as health and education, it's a problem. because if you look at a country's standards of living, it all comes from things like education and health, not roads or any other thing. So I think we need to get our priorities right.
Yes, so far as the development of our
yeah. So I vumela nalo lo mfowethu lapha ade esekhaya ukuthi ukubonile nalo konke okwenzakalayo kuhle sibili ngoba nxa konke khona okusenzakala kusho ukuthi khona abantu bakithi bali bathola izinto abazifunayo njengezindlela ezinhle and so forth. Kodwa mina ngibona ngani impila kahle le education kuqhakathekile kakhulu ngoba nxa sile mfundo sile mpila kahle then kuza sanelisa ukuthi khona sibe ngabantu abaqhubekela phambili ilizwe liqhubekele phambili ngoba everywhere else nxa ukhangela nxa even United Nations Human Development Index some of our indicators abo it's education and health.
Yes, siyabonga kakhulu ke sike sizwe Pearl Matibe is a geopolitical analyst. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So in a nutshell, what do you think about the situation in Zimbabwe, almost 3 years after the removal of former President Robert Mugabe?
Right. Thank you for that question. So from an analytical point of view, I think that the reality is the fact that the military did use force and exerted their presence on that day, as we all know. But Zimbabwe has had to face an acid test. So starting in 2018, after the coup, there has been the question of holding free, fair, and credible elections. And holding free, fair, and credible elections is rooted in the democratic theory and the political philosophical theory about how people vote, how people participate, and things such as electoral reform. So when I look at how has Zimbabwe improved, I look to see what are those signs, what are those things that I can identify, that people can identify, that are rooted in democratic theory or political philosophy, that are evidence that Zimbabwe is moving forward in that regard. And many of those things are not present, right? For instance, if I look at voting, as I mentioned, so voting is one metric, how you measure how well is Zimbabwe doing. To obstruct or to hinder the holding of by-elections is treachery. That needs to be improved. If you look at political participation, another metric of how you identify whether a healthy democracy is in place, whether things are improving. There are certain things that we have seen. We're seeing limitations still exist in terms of freedom of the press, freedom to assemble, freedom of speech, and so on. And if we take a look at electoral reforms, going back to the 2018 elections, we did have election observers. They produced reports. And in those reports, there were recommendations on how Zimbabwe could improve. And now, more than 2 years, almost 4 months, 2 years and 4 months since the 2018 elections, Zimbabwe is no closer to electoral reform. There's disenfranchisement of the diaspora vote. The diaspora vote is still unresolved. There is still no level playing field. There is still, we're still no less, we're not seeing less misuse of state resources. So there's still more misuse of state resources. And Zimbabweans still are unable to participate in the political process without fear. And so I ask myself, if I'm to identify, if I'm looking to see where is democracy working, does Zimbabwe have a healthy democracy? These are some of the signs and the indicators that should be evidence of whether is Zimbabwe, are we affirming democracy in Zimbabwe or is not existing yet in Zimbabwe? I'll tell you one thing, for example, right? If you look, for instance, at maybe the performance of Zimbabwe's leader, President Emmerson Mnangagwa, he came into office. He was promising a lot of things, getting better and so on. But you can ask yourself a couple of things. If we're going to go to 2024 elections, Have all those things been put in place? He promised the diaspora vote that he would have time in between now and 2024. I don't see the mechanisms being put into place to make sure that there will be a diaspora vote in 2024. Assurances by the government of Zimbabwe, a lot of people inside the Zimbabwe and in the international community say that those assurances that have been given by the government of Zimbabwe are pretentious, that they are just dressed up for foreign representatives and so on. So there are a lot of issues and a lot of things that you can ask yourself and look to see what can you identify as progress based on established democratic theory. We have a constitution. What does the constitution mean and so on? And so these are some of the issues that I would be looking to see. Has Zimbabwe improved or has it not improved?
Thank you so much. Let's hear from Ms. Noctula in South Africa. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
Yes, what's your take in the current political situation in Zimbabwe since 2017, November?
Well, nothing has changed. I don't usually like comparing the Mugabe regime and the Mnangagwa regime because it's just the same. We have seen different forms of violence, social unrest. We have seen economic deterioration. We have seen political chaos. You see, there's no any other development that you've seen, actually. And no one is accountable. There's no transparency. They say a lot of things. We have heard about white farmers' compensation, but really, you don't have, they say a lot of things, but we don't see them being implemented. So nothing has changed, really. Actually, it's like, the government is busy watching the gardens while the house is burning. I think they are much more focusing on things that are not really urgent right now. I think more they are fueling, like most of the funds, they are mostly used in terms of security purposes while there is no war. So it's like every individual, like the Zimbabweans, the government sees Zimbabweans as enemies. So if you think that if you see citizens as enemies, yes, you have to be, always you should be ready for a war. So I think nothing has changed. A lot of youth, they are not employed, and those people are like, our daughter said something about hotels are open. Okay, fine. Who is benefiting from hotels? Who are the owners of those hotels? So, which means the only top class, they are the ones that are able to survive in Zimbabwe. What about the middle class? What about the civil servants? So, nothing has really changed. They are failing to actually at least sit down and talk to the doctors, talk to the nurses, talk to the health care. Right now, we are talking about people that are not tested. Who is supposed to test those citizens? Because citizens, they have to be taught information should be, they have to be empowered with information. Who is supposed to empower citizens with information? And the health care do its duty. So nothing has changed.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into the middle of the country. 1 minute, Uchukuti, who kona yini? Uso kukukile, Adonis.
Hayi akulande etshintshileyo nje akulande etshintshileyo siyabona ukuthi ziningi izinto esihlangana lazo sikhangela ukuthi abantu akulamsebenzi sikhangela ukuthi impilakahle yethu nje isengcupheni sikhangela ukuindlela imfundo imfundo yethu ngani hayi akuhambi kahle indaba yokuthi amathisha kumele ukuthi ngabhadale njalo kumele ukuthi ngawodokotela bethu lawo bayananza ugovernment uyabananza so bonani mina ugovernment kayenzanga nje akakayenzanga lutho ngoba bonani ubhizi nje ngezinto nje ezingayisizo kumele ukuthi nga ubhizi ngazo so ngibonani ugovernment akatshintshanga lutho ngoba abantu abaningi nje basadubeka ungabona isinkwa sesimangalisa ukuthi umuntu uthenga isinkwa so hayi ngibonani ukuthi akulanto nje esitshintshile ebambekayo hayi
yeah jonga.
Thank you so much. I know Dr. Mafaza is itching to respond to Ms. Matibe and Ms. Noctula's comments.
Thank you so much. Let me start with Ms. Matibe. You see, the problem we have here is the problem of lack of knowledge. If somebody is not aware of what's happening in Zimbabwe, it becomes very difficult to give a clear view of the situation. Ms. Matembe is talking about electoral reforms. She's talking about elections. The elections are in 2023, not 2024. Again, she is talking about that things have not changed and nothing has actually changed, which is a story from a comic book. The reality of the matter is human rights have actually changed for better in the new dispensation. Secondly, the violence people talk about, it's only two incidences. The first one, when some malcontents marched and wanted to overturn the elections command center, which was at Sheraton Hotel. Even Chamisa came on TV calling those people stupid, which means those people were not opposition members. They were just malcontents meant to cause disruption of an electoral process, which was going through in Zimbabwe. And after that, the army and the police had a duty to protect the integrity of the nation. And in the process, there was some exchange of gunfire and some few people died, which was very, very bad. But it had to happen, and the inquiry was done to show the democratically embedded nation. They called the Montante from South Africa to come and chair an inquiry, which came up with resolutions which we are following up to now. So in other words, we have got a listening government. We have got a listening president. Zimbabwe is open for business. We have now so many people coming up. In case people are not aware, we have got 35 companies of farmers who have started farming medical cannabis. We have got 22 pharmaceutical companies. We have already entered contracts with those companies. So we have opened another avenue which has not been opened for the past 4 years, medical cannabis. We've got people now digging for chrome, gold, big companies from China, from here in England. So you see, our industries are starting to work again. I'm not saying things are perfect. We are saying we are getting there. Yes, things have been difficult. Industries are closed. But you cannot expect them to open at once in 3 years, in 2.5 years. So in these 3 years, we have seen a lot of lights. I've told you the roads have been constructed, added to Bed Bridge. It's in an advanced stage. Dams, last week the president opened a dam where the dam was built by Zimbabwean own funds. It's not a donated fund. It's not funds from any other country. So this is what we are doing as a country. Despite the sanctions, we are able to save.
Yes, I don't know what happened to Dr. Mavaza. I cannot hear him now. Mr. Machazi, you can chip in there before we go to Ms. Matibe. I know Ms. Matibe wants to respond to Dr. Mavaza, but Mr. Machazi, your chance.
Thank you. I just want to go back to 2017, November 17. I think one thing that taught us on that day is it doesn't matter whoever is doing an undemocratic or an illegal activity. We should not support it. Whether it was Mnangagwa taking out Mugabe, it was not right. Right now, you see, we legitimize them, and then they came in, and then this is the reason why they are doing this. So I'm hoping that in everything that happens in Zimbabwe, whether it's, let's say, it's Mnangagwa being arrested, let's give him due process. Whether it's Hopewell being arrested, let's give him a due process. Because if we don't, like we did in 2017, we are promoting lawlessness, or we are promoting the selective application of the law. So I think this is one thing that the people of Zimbabwe need to understand. We need to understand the rule of law, respect the processes, whether we like somebody or not. Because if we don't, where do you draw the line? Or if you don't draw the line, then you become inconsistent in applying the law. And it is going to be a problem, because then we don't draw the line where we start saying, okay, now let's follow the appropriate rule of law principles.
Thank you so much, Gibbs.
Yes, let's go to Ms. Matibe. So, Ms. Matibe, briefly, at the end of the day, what needs to happen in Zimbabwe for the country to be stable and economically and so forth?
Right. So just before I respond to your question, I just want to say to Dr. Mavaza that he is correct. The date that I meant to mention is 2023. 2024 is U.S. elections. So I just wanted to clarify that point. But to his point, I disagree somewhat extensively with his position. And the reason is because, remember, this is the coup anniversary. The coup anniversary brings mixed feelings for many Zimbabweans. And as we saw the footage of how the armed soldiers patrol the streets and so on, Zimbabwe now is militarized by police and the intelligence service. So there is a new level of dysfunction in Zimbabwe. I'm not saying that there are not any good things happening in Zimbabwe and that there are not some steps and actions taken by the current government, to build roads and so on. What I'm saying is whatever actions they are taking now are way too small, way too tiny in comparison to the massiveness of the impact of what else still needs to happen between now and 2023. Chief among those is the diaspora vote. The diaspora vote is significantly important. The political landscape is prevalent with heavy-handedness of security forces. They're always dominant. That somehow needs to change so that the atmosphere and the environment in which people need to participate is freer. People need to participate without fear. And structural reforms are essential. There's a couple of things that perhaps people are perhaps not really talking about. And that's the issue of the fact that we do have a constitution, right? If we understand for a minute, Mr. Gibbs, what does a constitution mean, having a constitution? A constitution is basically a set of principles by which a government and so on governs its people. Right. So there is no one human being on earth. And to be clear, the military is not a police force. So it was not their duty or their job to go out looking for criminals. It's not a function of a military. Right. And whenever you see someone in military uniform in front of a state television broadcasting to the nation, that is a coup. That is how you define and visually see a coup in progress, no matter what else anybody else might want to describe it as. The visual suggests a coup, right? So what I'm trying to say to you is, if we look at the Constitution, there is no one human being on earth in any country, not just Zimbabwe, who has the right to govern another human being without that human being giving their consent. So the Zimbabwean people themselves right now are consenting to the government that is governing them right now. So if Zimbabwean people are not happy with the government that is governing them, they are consenting to being abused.
Thank you for they those comments. Yes. Thank you so much for those kind of comments. I think we'll ask Dr. Mabaza to respond at one stage. Let's turn to the U.S. elections.
Sure.
Can you tell Zimbabweans what is going on right now? We saw yesterday, in Wayne County in Michigan, there was an attempt to block the certification of the election results. And this may be a way that maybe the Republicans are trying to block the inauguration of Mr. Joe Biden. At the same time, we have been seeing some firings and all these kind of things, and Mr. Biden not being allowed to transition to the office of the president. So what is going on? Just briefly, please, make it 1 minute exactly.
Sure. So just to be clear, what we are seeing happening and unfolding in the United States is actually very good. We are seeing the wheels of democracy turning. We are actually seeing democracy in action, which is excellent. But what you're talking about, what's happening in the state of Michigan right now, you are correct. But I just wanted to say that the irregularities in the election that you saw in Wayne County is not unusual. In 2016, about 80% of the precincts in Wayne County had some bookkeeping or clerical errors, but that did not stop the votes being validated. This year, in 2020, that was only about 40%. And so what we need to recognize is no matter which side of the aisle you're at, no matter whether you think President Trump is right or not right, President Trump has the democratic right to contest the results of the election, okay? So conceding or not conceding. Conceding basically is whether you're admitting that something is true or whether something is valid. It's not a new concept in the U.S. elections. I would just want to remind you because, for instance, back in 2018, the Georgia governor, Stacey Abrams, she refused to concede to the Republican new governor, Brian Kemp, during that election. In fact, even during her speech, she was very careful with the words that she chose, and she stressed that she was not conceding. But in terms of law, there is nothing in the U.S. Constitution that forces Trump to concede. He doesn't have to concede, right? He doesn't have to concede. So Trump has every right to try and demand that all the states be sure about the votes so that everybody can have the confidence in the election. But as you said, as of last night, 9:30 p.m. last night, I believe that it was a unanimous vote in Wayne County that they are confirming that there were no irregularities. And so I think that we will see this process continue. We still have Georgia, which still will have to go through that process. Remember, there are still 63 days before January 20. And so I think in this democratic process, it just needs patience as we see each step of the democratic process unfolding. I believe that the Democrats also in the Biden camp should be patient because they should be trying to show that they are part of the democratic process. Whether they agree with Trump or not, just because they're Trump's rivals doesn't give them the right to step on his own right.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes. Before Ms. Matibe goes, maybe I can throw a question to her.
Yes.
Ms. Matibe, we heard what you have just explained, and I think that's what many people wanted to hear about the elections here in America. But looking at the transitional period, time is moving. Say President Trump concedes to the November 3rd election, say 20 days before inauguration, will there be enough time for the handover takeover there?
Yes, there will be plenty of time. And the reason I'm very confident that there should be no issues is because the Biden campaign, as we speak, are already preparing for a transition. So what happens in the United States is there is a body which is called the transition team, which already is coordinating between the White House and the Biden campaign. Yes, there are some issues in terms of him not being given, you know, the security briefings and things of that nature. But just to let you know, I mean, I know people who are on this transition team. We are, you know, so I just want to say confidently that I am confident in the process, and we're following every single step in this transition. Another thing I just wanted to say is, just remember, for instance, in the last 20 years, we had the Bush Jr. election. We had the Trump election in 2016, Bush 2000. It's not unusual for a sitting president to win a U.S. election after he has lost the popular vote. In 2000, Bush won, but he lost the popular vote. In 2016, Trump won, but Clinton won the popular vote. And so we just need to wait. Remember, what elects the person who gets the keys to the White House in the United States is not the vote that is cast by each individual. It's the Electoral College vote. And so the way Electoral Colleges vote is that each state is represented by an elected official who goes to Congress in the House of Representatives. And it is based on the population of each state. So depending, for instance, for example, Texas might have more than 30-some electoral votes. That's because of the population of Texas, which is completely different to the population of, say, Vermont, might only have one person who's going to go to the House of Representatives. And then each state gets two senators. So depending on the size of the state and its population, that determines the number of electoral votes plus two. And those two go into the Senate. And that's how, so basically it's actually still very fair because you're still getting one person who is proportionally representing a portion of the population. And that is how the election is decided on who becomes the president. I just wanted to explain how the Electoral College vote works. So even though it appears as if maybe New Hampshire is getting less electoral votes, that just means New Hampshire's population is less than California.
And still on that point, you cannot change the composition of people that cast the votes. Cannot change them?
You cannot change them, but I was just trying to give you an example. Like, for example, if you compare California and, say, North Carolina or even Michigan, right? So it just means that in California, you might have one person representing a greater portion, maybe two times the number of people as in, say, New Hampshire, just because of the size of the population. But when you actually work it out, there one person is representing about the same quantity.
Yes, what I'm saying is, you know, can you bring in somebody else instead of those people that were properly elected? Can you bring yours and say, instead of those electors, we've got these ones? Right?
No, you cannot. Yeah, okay. you're quite correct.
Okay, thank you very much on that point. So let's go to Dr. Mabaza. Dr. Mabaza, you're an outsider looking into what is happening in USA. Briefly, our time is up almost. So briefly, tell us what you are seeing and how you feel about what's going on in USA. You are a lawyer too, by the way.
Thank you so much. You see, when you look at the system in USA and the way things are happening, the first thing is that any democratic person must have the temerity to say, I've lost. If you look at it and see that I'm losing, you must have that courage to say, I've lost. You cannot walk on the straw, because if you are the leader and you are refusing to say, I'm about to lose, you are encouraging anarchy, violence, distrust. And if you attack your own system, which you must uphold, you are encouraging people to disrespect the democratic system your country is trying to have. So in other words, the situation, while Trump has got every democratic right to challenge what he thinks is not fair on his part, but the way he has done it and the way he's doing it, that even if I lose, I will not go. You must look at the background. Trump had actually said before elections, if I lose, I have not lost. He had already declared them rigged before they were even done. So that system that a trend is set is a very long trend. And therefore, it does not go by, it actually soiled the democratic situation in America. And it gives a very bad impression of America, which goes all over the world to try and teach people democracy. They've castigated Zimbabwe, sanctioned us for elections, which actually ours had gone very smoothly than these ones. And you'd see the trend the Trump got is the same trend we have in our opposition in Zimbabwe. They challenge the elections, they go to court, they tell them they're rigged, they delay everything only to say, okay, we've lost. So the reality of the matter is, when you know that I've lost, you have lost. And therefore, I think Trump is not doing the right thing for democracy and for America. But however, let me just quickly say, Gibbs, Ms. Matimbe, I think people are wrong in thinking that Zimbabwe went through a coup. If you look at the situation again, it was a popular uprising. Yes, the army was on the streets. Yes, the army took over the stations. But what then happened at the end of the day, people went into the streets in support of the army. And then the parliament sat and they had a vote of no confidence and they were impeaching the president. And the president resigned, not at gunpoint. So it is very wrong to say we are celebrating a coup. And again, we cannot say Zimbabwe is trampling the human rights obligations of people. They are arresting criminals who have committed crimes regardless of their activities in politics. The government has a right to arrest people who break the laws, even if they are activists.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let's concentrate on the U.S. elections. We'll bring in Mr. Machazi and Mr. Gronsi. But before maybe we proceed, Chonga, I got a question too for Pierre Matibe. So there's this Presidential Transnational Act of 1963 that actually clarifies the process of a transition and giving money to an administration that is coming in. Give us your outlook on that, just briefly.
Yes, and so that transitional it's an agency organization that does these transitions each and every term. I'm not really concerned about that at all, simply because even if you take a look at the Secret Service right now, they have already increased the protection that President-elect Biden, I suppose, if you want to call it that, is supposed to receive. And so the security around Biden and the security around Kamala Harris has been changing. It is supposed to be more than what it is right now, but what I can tell you for certain here in Washington, D.C., is that that transition, they've already are very well staffed. Actually, last weekend, I was speaking to, actually a few days ago, two or three days ago, I was speaking to a previous ambassador who has been asked to join the presidential transition team, and she is very confident, too, about the progress that they are making. One of those things is, the Biden team or whomever is going to be president right now, because remember, the results have not been certified. So until and unless the results are certified, we can't really technically even call Biden president-elect because we don't know that yet. And the Georgia state elections are definitely have been confirmed will go for a recount. So we have to wait for the Attorney General to certify those results. So, but whomever is going to be the one who takes office, it's a very simple transition. The previous president, if it's not the incumbent, if it is not Trump, comes to the White House on January 20th. It's a very quick. They have a team of people who come and they move the furniture because the new president might need his own furniture and so on, his own staff. It happens within about an hour, 2 hours. One president leaves the White House, and the next president is coming in. But for weeks, even right now, the transition team is already hard at work on those things. There are many things in terms of finances and so on. Yes, I agree that Biden should be receiving by right now. But until and unless the presidential result has been certified, so remember Trump has got these appointees that he has in these judicial positions, which for right now do work in his favor. That's not to say that he has a case. That is not to say that all these legal cases that he is wanting to go through the courts are valid or that they will, be successful. I'm just talking about the process itself. I'm not really concerned about the process. I think that we will see a clear, transparent process. I want to say as a caveat to that, we need to also know that knowing the nature of Trump, and I followed Trump many times. I have been to a few of his rallies, following very closely. He may never concede, and he may never want to leave the White House. That can be a very certain thing because the Republicans themselves still need him in the Georgia recount and in the Georgia runoff. And so, but there are legal processes in place to remove a president who is unwilling to leave the White House.
Yes.
In place. So I'm not concerned about that at all. I'm very confident when come January 20th.
Thank you so much, Mr. Matiba. Maybe, Jonga, let's talk to Mr. Machazi.
Yes, Mr. Machazi, President-elect Joe Biden and his senior advisors have said that President Donald Trump's defiance to concede could jeopardize efforts to contain the surge in COVID-19 cases. What's your take on that?
Oh, you can hear me now.
Yes.
Yes.
So I would like to first address a couple of issues that I heard from Ms. Martin. I think we should understand that the political system is in the United States is composed of written rules and unwritten rules. And those really form the core of the political system. The unwritten rules is tradition, and over the years, it has happened that, you know, presidents out of decorum, they get projections, and then they, you know, weigh their options and so forth, and even rightfully so, pursue their, you know, their grievances. And then at the end of the process, concede, or if they don't concede, you know, they win, that's fine. But here, what Trump is doing is defiance. He's acting in an irresponsible manner. He is not, you know, he's not bound by any conventional rules or any written or non-written. And so much is like the language that he's using is inflammatory. He is saying the elections cannot be legitimate until he wins. That's not democracy. So I have a problem. In terms of transition, we cannot say, you know, the transition is going to go on okay and, you know, just, it's not just the furniture that is moving around. The briefings, we've got to understand what are the policy issues that are coming up. I mean, I'm talking as a person who has been involved in such transitions when new politicians come into office and so forth, although in much smaller jurisdictions. These are very tedious and very hard processes to go by. You know, you've got to create briefings, you've got to tell them about this and about that. It's very tedious. I mean, it's very, very engaging. So I don't see whether that will have time if Trump is belligerent, and then we go up to about maybe first week or second week of January, that would be very far. Now, coming to your issue about Joe Biden and COVID, he's not getting official information. He's not being given access to official experts. So how do you expect him other than other sources? It's actually embarrassing that he has got to go looking under the stones for information when actually there are processes. This is a democracy that has got institutions that have got strong processes that are supposed to be handling these things. But what we are doing is everything that is happening is happening outside of the understood conventional or non-conventional political processes and structures. So it's a problem. It's a huge problem. At the end of the day, I don't know how it's going to end, but right now, the way the things are happening, it's like, I'll give maybe an analogy. If there's a road, instead of driving on the paved road, people are driving on the side of the road, you know, on a rocky road, you know, maybe a side road. Why not use the established road? We know we've got a very clear, it's a democracy. We understand everyone has got their rights, but let's pursue the rights in the right manner and use the proper language, processes to drive through that process and we have an end that reflects democracy and, you know, respect for America, for what it is.
Yes, thank you so much, Mr. Machazi. So I think we have come to the end of the program. We have to leave it there. We thank our guest this evening, Mr. Kutula Machazi. He's an independent political commentator based in Canada. Ms. Pearl Matibe, a geopolitical analyst Dr. Simba Mabaza of ZANU-PF, and Nokutula Adonsi, a Zimbabwean living in South Africa, who is following politics all the time. Sani Hopkins Kipchoge in Maryland, saying good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Good night.